Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm here with Ian and Lucas from the Microsoft advertising team. We're going to talk about how to include advertising in Windows 8 applications. Ian, Lucas, thanks for being on the call today.
Hi, Jerry.
Now, I want to talk about advertising, but long before we do that, I want to start first with who you guys are. Lucas, let's start with you. Who are you?
So I'm actually a developer that's working on the advertising SDK. I've been on it for a couple months now. So.
All right. Cool. And Ian, who are you?
I'm an engineering manager of the team that is building the Windows 8 advertising solutions in MSA. And nice. Lucas is on my team.
Got it. Okay, so Microsoft advertising certainly isn't something new. We've had advertising a long time, or have we? What's the history of Microsoft advertising, Ian? Do you want to share it with us?
Yeah, sure. We've actually been in the business for a while, most notably driving monetization for some of our traditional portals like MSN. I was also, I guess I've been here a while, I was also here when we started the Ad Center project, which was advertising on Search Engine Result Page, or SERPs, which is the Bing Ads experience. I've been here for 8 years, working most of it in the advertising space.
Nice. Been here a while.
That's right. So
we've had advertising, really, it's crossing all of our different platforms, and we had it on Windows Phone, now on Windows 8. Now, how is it different on Windows 8?
That's a great question. I think what we've learned over this last couple of years, and actually what the industry is learning, is that we want to reset the norm of advertising. I think consumers are getting tired of irrelevant ads, tired of ads that don't add value to the overall experience. And so with Windows 8, we have an opportunity to reset the new norm and essentially establish a new social contract with consumers, which says that we will provide you high-quality, relevant experiences, and we would provide developers advertising that is accretive to their application and end-user experience. And Windows 8 is just a large enough opportunity to basically reset the industry around these new norms.
What's happening to our industry? Do you see more advertising showing up in ads or in apps, or developers and apps tend to be sold now instead of using advertising?
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. If you look at some of the trends, there are two monetization mechanisms that are trending up, and those are freemium or in-app purchases and advertising. And actually subscription and paid apps are actually trending downwards. I think consumers are used to getting everything free, you know, all these new application models to free music, free video, and so that's just a trend that's carrying over into the app space.
Then, of course, what's not changing in Windows 8 advertising is developers or application owners are still getting paid. It's still a source of monetization. How are you able to accomplish the change in the user experience and making ads more relevant to the users?
Yep. So what we've done is we've basically said we're going to change the model from how it used to work before, where we essentially allowed any type of advertising to run on the surfaces, to a point where we created these blueprint experiences for advertisers to use. And so that gives us both control over the performance and security risks, and you know, anything from battery consumption to bandwidth consumption, and allow the advertisers to use these blueprints in scalable ways, and they really make for compelling ad experiences. If you look at the ads running right now, you'll get a sense for that.
So it's a better experience for the user, especially battery and things like that. It's a better experience for a developer because they're trying to make money on monetize off of it. How are the advertising companies responding to these changes?
We're getting a lot of traction with advertisers. You know, this is different for them too, and so there's a little bit of having to sell them into the new model. But once they start seeing the new engagement and how easy it is, and looking at the lifetime value of the consumer and the eyeballs they get, I think they'll come around to this and embrace it. We certainly had a lot of traction with the top advertisers already, and we continue to do so.
One of the one of the coolest parts of Windows 8 is I know that using Store, I can deploy to so many countries, so many currencies, so many locales. Is there a consumer market? Is it a broad market like Windows 8 is for advertising on Microsoft platform?
Absolutely. I mean, we started GA with launching in 10 markets, consumer markets, and developer markets. We're at 30-plus markets, so a developer in any one of the 30 markets can build their app, publish it into one of the 10 consumer markets, and get paid in their local currency. And we will continue to grow the consumer markets as the Windows 8 reaches critical mass in new markets. We would launch in those markets as well.
And it, how... So the difference between the consumer market and the developer market is where the developer's seated, right? The currency he wants to get paid in.
That's right.
And the consumer market is where the advertiser is, I suppose.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. So we have to kind of launch in markets where we have enough critical mass of consumers. It makes no sense to launch in a market where there aren't enough audience to reach. And so we've started with the 10 top markets, and we'll continue to expand that as these markets reach critical mass.
And then it just continues to grow out that way. Sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, so I like that the user is happy. I like that the advertiser is happy. I'm a developer. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about yield. What have you seen as far as impact on yield? What actually – yeah, let's start there.
Sure. And so this is actually a win-win scenario for everybody. The consumers are happy, which means the developers are happy, because consumers are very fickle. If they have a bad experience or get malware or get, advertising half their tablet's battery life by a third, they will start not using your app and self-select into other apps. So a happy consumer means a happy developer. But as your question about yield, generally in advertising, the richer experience attract more budget from advertisers. So the fact that we're kind of focusing on these high premium experience with top 500 advertisers will ensure that we demand a higher CPM than you might see on other networks. And this obviously translates to a payout and yield for developers.
Now, there might be a developer or two who's watching or listening, and, CPM, eCPM, they're not familiar with necessarily the terms. Let's just give them a ground level real quick.
Sure. CPM stands for cost per million impressions or thousand impressions. And basically the way that works is an advertiser, if you get a $1 CPM, the advertiser is willing to pay you $1 to show their ads 1,000 times. I know that sounds like a lot of impressions, but it does tally up across a bunch of users. And then eCPM is if you have a mixed mode of, let's say, some advertisers buying cost per click, and some buying cost per impression, and you kind of normalize that out to just what's called an eCPM, which is a normalized value across different pricing models.
Now, when I'm trying to figure out how much I'm going to make from all this advertising, CPM suddenly is very important, right?
That's right.
I start guessing on how many people are going to download it, how often they're going to run it, and then CPM, if I have an advertisement running in my app, that's one CPM. And then how much time passes before that is refreshed?
Yes, sir. Our SDK, I think the default is 60 seconds, and we're going to make that configurable. Obviously, we'll have a minimum value just to make sure that developers don't drive it down too high.
Essentially, so a millisecond.
That's right, exactly. You don't want to see that. We can, if you can take it down, you can start getting animation. The other metric to developers to look at is called the fill rate. Not every ad impression will have an ad, and so sometimes the advertiser budget runs dry, and so you don't get ads back. So you really need to look at your CPM plus your fill rate to figure out what your take-home yield will be.
Yeah, and then if I'm going to be setting up with Microsoft Advertising, of course I go to PubCenter, right? PubCenter.microsoft.com is where I go in, create my account, manage my account. That's where the metrics and everything are given to me as well. That's also where I would learn about fill rate.
That's right. If you go to PubCenter, you'll be able to sign up. You'll tell us about your application, the category of your application. You will get to see the reporting. You'll be able to see how much money you're making. You'll be able to run custom reports. And you will be able to see your fill rate, which is the other key metric, as we discussed.
Yeah, no doubt. And so this is Windows. I mean, a lot of people, I think developers who are watching will have some experience with Windows Phone, where they used advertising there. They go to PubCenter there as well. But it's not the same. Other than that, it's not the same, right?
Yeah. So it's the same portal, but it was very different strategy. So for the phone, we ended up going with a scale demand strategy, and we launched the first mobile ad exchange, which was very innovative from an ad industry point of view. But at the time when the industry was mostly buying ads in mobile space through something called mediation, which is kind of like a broker just sending some impressions to this network and then some impressions to that network versus a real-time bidded exchange. And so the function that we were kind of ahead of the curve, as well as you know, not really getting up to critical scale on Windows Phone, that will definitely change with Windows Phone 8, I hope. But these two factors led to some challenges in international demand coverage and stuff like that. And so we've heard a lot about developers in outside the U.S. having challenges with full rate. Windows 8 is a completely different model. The engine behind it is different. The way we sell the ads behind it is different. And so we don't expect to see the kind of similar issues we've seen in Windows Phone.
Nice. I think that'll be very reassuring to a lot of developers who may be thinking there's a lot of connection between them, right? And they're the same experience twice. I think that's good. I that's okay. Now, Lucas, you're a developer, and I'm a developer. I like to use XAML and C# when I build my applications. What's my experience? What do I do to add advertising to a XAML application?
Sure. So I can actually run you through a quick little scenario. Basically, what you would do, and you would go to PubCenter. There's two values that you need to obtain. Once you sign up, you basically go into setup, and you'll create an application. And it's a pretty quick wizard. I already have one created. It's just a test app. And then you get your application ID, so you want to take note of this number. And then you'll get ad units. This will be inside your application. And, of course, we do Windows Phone as well, so we have mobile and Windows 8. And your ad unit ID is usually a six-digit number. So once you have those two values and you have all this set up, you're kind of ready to be making money. The next step you want to do is go to windowsadvertising.com, which will land you on this page here. And once you're here, you basically download the SDK, quick link, run it, which will prompt you with an MSI, run through the MSI. I've already installed it, so I'm just going to cancel out of this. But run through the MSI, then it restarts your Visual Studio. Finish. Okay. And then once you're in Visual Studio, I'm going through this quick because it is a simple process, and I want to show that. So once you're in Visual Studio, basically file, new, project, choose a Windows Store application. Blank XAML app is fine. And here's your app. Here's your main page. And this has a designer on it. Let's wait for this to load real quick. Here we go. And then once you've installed the MSI and you go into references for your application, you can just right-click and hit Add Reference. And if you choose the Windows extensions, you'll see that we are already in here after installing the MSI. Yeah. So you choose that, hit OK, everything gets added. Your application is here. Now let's say you want to actually add this ad control. So obviously, this is a blank application. There's nothing in it. But if you had more stuff, you go into your toolbox. We've installed this nice design time control to make your life easy. Mm-hmm. Drag it on, and there you are. There's the code for your ad control. You'll notice that there is an application ID. This is what I told you to note from PubCenter. There's an ad unit ID that you also note from PubCenter. You put those two things in here, and that's basically all you need to do. Now, I'm going to use something I set up earlier, which is just a test client, and these are testing applications so that we don't have to go through and worry about PubCenter. 300 by 250. And then change your width to 300. And let's go ahead and run this in simulator.
I'll provide the drum beat.
And let me drag this over from my other screen. And here you go. Here's your ad.
Gears of War. Who would have guessed? this video was cool the first 7,000 or 8,000 times.
So these are our built-in test ads that actually don't even make a round trip. They're just built into the SDK. If you just want to quickly test something, you can use this, and you don't have to worry about setting anything up. Mm-hmm. So there it is. That's really all you have to do. And again, there's additional properties that you can set on this ad control.
And so, like location, right?
Well, So there's, what do you mean by location?
I can set my, I can give it my latitude and my longitude.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or the lat and long of the current user, I guess, not mine, right?
Yeah, longitude and latitude. There's a couple things of note here, and again, this is all documented on our MSDN page, but for example, the add refresh, you can actually subscribe to that event. There's an error occurred event.
Mm-hmm. Add refresh basically means, hey, there's a new advertisement.
Yeah, a new ad has come in. It has been refreshed. We just want to notify you to let you know that it has happened.
Yep.
Error occurred. Obviously, you want to subscribe to this in case an error occurred has happened. You might want to hide the ad control or do something else with your application to fill
Wait,
that
let,
space.
Let me pause you for a second. So on ad refreshed, one of the things a developer may want to do is double check bandwidth usage if they're on a metered connection. What is there a limit or some sort of bandwidth consumption size that developers can assume by using an ad?
So we do look at the connection. If it is a metered connection, we try not to overload it. So we do make that decision. As far
and
as
is that by extending the time of refresh?
No. So we basically have different ads that we can serve depending on different criteria. Ian can speak a little more to the decision process making there. But, yeah, as far as developer go, I mean, they can obviously test their bandwidth and see how much bandwidth hasn't been used. The easier way to do it is just look at the network calls and see which one took how much time to do their testing.
Yeah, just to kind of riff on that, all our experiences, so on the anchor ads is usually the ad you see just before you engage. When you engage, we have a different type of experiences. All these experiences internally ask the Windows runtime whether this is a metered network, and they all have down-level experiences, if you will. So if you're on a gallery experience and you're on a metered network, we're not going to go and prefetch a bunch of content because we don't want you to pay for that unless you're absolutely viewing the content. So we have those smarts built into each of the experiences.
That's nice. And to that same point, you know, Lucas, you pick the 300 by 250, but when the user engages it, they select it or click on it. It's not going to stay in that size. It could go full screen. It could do – what are the different things that it could do?
So exactly like you saw, one of the ad types is click to video. So you click on it, expands to full screen, and it plays the video for you, which is an advertisement. The other experiences are click to image, so it'll be a full screen image. You can also do a full screen image with video inside of it. The possibilities, I guess, are endless as far as what we can do inside the expanded experiences. Currently, we have released a couple basic ones, and you can see them in the news applications, the finance applications, and they're all mostly click-to-image and click-to-video. Some of the other things that we're looking at is some more rich experiences that let the user engage more with it without actually having to leave the application. Another ad type is click-to-marketplace, so you could click to download yet another application. And another type we also have is a basic click to web. So you can click on the app ad and it'll actually take you to a web page as well. So there's a number of different things that the ads will do. And as time progresses, we actually release a lot more rich experiences that are they're pretty, they're almost beautiful in some places you will say, and they're very interactive and engaging to the user without having
what
to
is
feel
the,
like...
How does the developer have control over the advertisement? I know that you were in PubCenter and the developer can go in and say this is about, I don't know, health and fitness, I think, is one of the categories. But what else can they do to control what the click experience is for the user? Like, I only want video or I only want websites or something like that?
So, yeah, currently we target the advertisements based on the application category. And as far as exactly which ad will be served, obviously that's chosen so that you make the most money and which one, there's a big decision process that goes into that. And Ian can kind of backfill a little bit there. So if you want to.
Sure. No, I was just going to say that's absolutely right. The other thing we are looking to launch soon here is the ability to do exclusions. And so you as a developer can say, this is my app, this is my app category, but you can also go ahead and say, I don't want to see ads from certain categories or certain industry segments. So if you're worried about, running a BMW ad in a Mercedes-Benz app, you'll be able to provide those exclusion rules.
Because a Mercedes app is still going to select automotive probably as its
That's
category.
Right. Correct. That's right.
But if the Mercedes app had selected health and fitness as its category for whatever reason, it wouldn't show automotive, right? That's already a type of exclusion. This is a more narrow exclusion that you're talking
about. That's right. That's right. And by the way, this is a huge challenge we have today on the phone where developers are essentially gaming the categories. We are going to fix that in Windows 8, so you will be bound to your store category, so you will not be able to misclassify your app like you could potentially do on Windows Phone.
And since we're on exclusions, is there also a way for me to exclude? Well, let me just ask you this. I'm a developer. I'm writing an app. It's going to be an app. I'm going to target kids, right? Yeah. How do I talk to the advertising SDK so that I don't get advertisements that don't belong in my kids' app, let's say?
Yeah, so that's a very contemporary question. We had a bunch of challenges around that. Our SDK is essentially targeting 12-plus apps. And the reason for that is there's strict federal laws against advertising to children. You can look it up. It's called COPPA, with two P's, not one P. And basically that enforces a lot of filtration we need to do on the advertising. So right now we just said we're 12 plus. And as we've built enough demand and enough supply to justify subsegmenting the advertising into advertising that is appropriate for below 12, we would eventually lower our rating potentially in the future. But right now, the safest thing, the most prudent thing, is to just say we're 12 plus.
Got it. So if I were that developer and I was building an app like that, using the advertising SDK is going to get me disqualified, right? Because now I don't guarantee ads for under 12-year-olds.
That's right. And you know, we had this question brought up in the build sessions, and I think most developers just extend below 12 plus just because they want to try and get that additional reach. I think if you do the trade-offs between how many users will be between 12 and 3 for a given app, unless you're really building a app targeting children, it's probably better to keep the SDK and put it 12 plus, then remove ad monetization and do a 3 plus app.
Yeah, and then you can sell it or use subscription.
That's right.
In app
That's
purchase.
Right.
There's not like you're out of choices. It's just a change here, right? To change in strategy.
Yep.
Now, I know that there are a lot of cool looking advertisements. I forget it's the soccer team in Washington.
Mm-hmm. The Sounders.
Holy moly, their ad at the end with the shoe is cool. I mean, really cool looking.
Yep.
Now, if I wanted to add that ad into my app, is that a possibility, or is that a special case?
No, that's a great question. Most of what we've shown externally is the ads that are just automatically enabled by just integrating our SDK. That said, we do have a small percentage of experiences that we do a kind of deep integration with a publisher. The example you mentioned, the Sounders app, that is something that's partially done with our SDK, but also has a lot of code in the app itself. And so that's not something we can just do at scale, because we would have to sit with the app developer to get that integrated. What you would see over time is that some of these experiences will get quote-unquote standardized so that they can work just with our vanilla SDK.
Got it. So I do look, for example, I know in Build, you talked about a lot of the sizes that are available for developers to choose from. When I go to PubCenter, though, I don't always see the same sizes. Is there a discrepancy that's waiting to be resolved here, or am I looking in the wrong place?
No, that's fair. I think we have different sizes based on different tiering. The end state is that all the sizes we showed at Build will be available for breadth advertisers. We have kind of two levels of advertisers. We have premium, which are kind of like managed advertisers. They have a larger set of sizes today, but that will get fixed in the future.
Okay. Yep. Just curious, because I see that differentiation, right?
Yep.
And then even the test IDs that we've had for a long time, they tempt you with all these other sizes, you know, and you're like, yeah, awesome. so let's just talk about it strategically for a second.
Yep.
I want to add an ad, and I want to make tons of money, right?
Yep.
I'm looking at that list of ads.
Yep.
They're not all created equally, though, are they? I mean, do they, or are they? You tell me.
So right now they will be all created equally, because we're ensuring that every campaign we run has a demand in all the different sizes. But it's foreseeable that over time you can see clustering around specific sizes, and we will definitely share that with developers to tell them, hey, we're seeing the markets converging around these, five sizes, and we will share that. But right now it is equal. I think the really thing to focus on when you do your size selection is more around what works best in your app. I think the biggest mistake I've seen in apps is they design the app and then they put ads in.
And then
Give your,
crush them in,
yeah,
right? They
exactly.
crush
Oh,
them.
there's free space. Let me put an ad. I think, what you need to do is when you design your app, give your designer a placeholder ad. Have them design the app around the fact that there will be this thing here, this piece of content. And then you can use some of the sizes that work best for the Windows design language, like the 250 by 250. I
Yeah.
mean, there's a bunch of sizes that work well.
250 by 250 is classic because it fits into the traditional template
That's right.
that developers get out of Visual Studio. And
Absolutely.
I kind of think of that almost as like data interstitials, where you're like putting it inside your data. Are there rules around that? If I can I show more than one advertisement on the same screen at the same time?
Yep, no, absolutely. The only really rule that applies is that the advertising has to be demarcated, and so you'll see with our ad SDK, it has the little what we call the advertising slug in the top right corner. And there's no rules other than keeping the consumer experience in mind when you start putting too many ads on one page.
Right, because there are other impacts as well. I mean, these are not tiny little ads, or they're not, they're actually using resources.
Absolutely, they're using resources. One of the, to kind of riff on your question, some of the things we've seen developers do is stack two 250s on top of each other, and that looks weird, both if it's the same ad or when it's two different ads. So I wouldn't recommend that. Really, put the experience of the consumer first, and the rest will fall out after that.
There's no part of the SDK API that allows the developer to reach into the ad and know what's being advertised.
No, but it's an interesting use case. Is there a reason you'd want to know as a developer?
No, I can only think of bad reasons, actually. Like,
Exactly.
because I've stacked them.
That's right.
Now I can put Latin long into my advertisement. Why would I do that?
So, I mean, the more information you can provide about the context of the advertising impression, the more we can make that available to developers to advertisers to target. And usually, the more targeted the advertising, the higher the CPMs advertisers are willing to pay. And so that is just an extra signal to throw into the mix. If you have it, if you have permission from the user to collect the GPS location, send it to us. It will only improve your yield.
Got it. So location will allow, or lat long will allow the advertisement to be more relevant to the user, is the
That's
idea.
right. Yep.
And after all, I'm monetizing my app with advertisements. I want to maximize.
That's right.
It's not evil. It's awesome.
That's right.
All right. Lucas, I'm a XAML developer. I assume JavaScript, HTML applications that use advertising, which of course are fully supported as well, right?
That's correct. And if you look at my screen now, actually, I have our test app, which has a ton of advertisements on it. And this is all JavaScript, as you'll notice. So we have the equivalent of XAML in JavaScript in both places. This is something that I use to test all the ads, and it just has almost every ad unit ID. Let me run it here.
Have you considered publishing this app?
I was just going to say, this is an example of what not to do.
Exactly. So looks like I am broken here.
While you're
Okay.
thinking about that, what happens if the user executes or they're running this app and I have an ad showing, but they're not currently connected? The network is currently disconnected. What's their experience?
So right now you would get an ad error. And so the developer kind of needs to catch that and then decide to reallocate the real estate or just show a blank space.
Okay, so it just comes back as an error. So I can handle it as a developer if I want to,
Absolutely, yeah.
and keep that experience positive.
And more Gears of War for you, Jerry.
I love Gears of War.
Yeah, so this is the test app, and obviously we have a lot of different ads here. Some are click to image, some are going to be click to image again. So some play in place. You know, I have a video that will play actually in place of the ad. But anyway, this is an HTML application that uses all the different ad controls in it. So.
Nice.
Yeah, now, and I showed you the ad control before that you can simply drag on. In this case, actually, because of some limitations of Visual Studio, we don't have a toolbox ad control that you can drag on. But you can, there's on MSDN, we have sample code that you can just paste. And this is really all it is just a simple ad control code.
Then it's all taken care of. Now, they still have to install the SDK just like everybody else.
Exactly.
Right?
Everything is the same. You install the SDK the same way. You add a reference to it exactly the same way. It's just obviously now that it's a modern app, it won't be XAML. So.
And I assume JavaScript doesn't have to worry about airspace when they're using their advertisements. And we use – you guys use the WebView, right? And so I've seen what – seen it happen. Now I have a banner at the bottom of my app. I say I want my control, my app bar with its controls to come up. Of course, the ad always wins, right?
Yep.
The ad will always win.
We're really serious about advertising.
I mean, it is amazing. It's not evil. It's awesome, right? No. Seriously, there is a way, right? There's got to be.
Yep. So I mean, I'll take that one real quick. You could use the on ad bar show and hide events or before and after events to basically turn the control into a web view brush internally, and you can use the suspend and resume API to do that. I just want to restate, we know this is a big pain for developers. We're working two angles. We're working with the platform team where the actual root issue lies, and we're trying to do as much of the heavy lifting internally so that, you know, from a developer point of view, you don't have to worry about airspace.
Yeah. Well, that would be, if you solved airspace for XAML developers, this would be like monumental. Hey, this is great. Yeah, okay. I have a feeling there's still good. You don't have to apologize to developers. We love to code. We get paid by the line, so it's no problem.
That's great news because that's great news because the one example I saw was 1,200 lines of code to manage the airspace. So if that's the case, then let me know. We can keep that bug in there if you want to.
If I it could, yeah, you can name it after me if you do that. No, seriously.
Feature.
Feature, that's right. Yeah. It's on the box, you know, it's a big includes. Seriously, what's the concept? A developer does want to solve this. Where do they start?
Yeah. I think the key thing is to, you know, be strategic in your placement of the ad. If you're using a XAML app, try and stay away from the edges. And if you can keep tabs of which kind of menus you have and which kind of fly out over any experiences that you feel will have a conflict with airspace, all you need to do is call suspend on the ad control and resume when the conflict is resolved. Unfortunately, there's no easy API in Windows RT to ask, hey, is there an airspace issue? So you kind of have to manage it just myopically by saying, okay, I'm going to do an edgy now. The app bar is going to come up. You know, depending on the resolution, maybe it may or may not cover the ad, and so you can just assume it will and just put the ad in suspended mode. You can't keep the ad in suspended mode, unfortunately, because no animation will work, no clicks will work, and no refresh will work. So you kind of, it's not a good idea to do that. So you want to resume to get the functionality back.
So once you suspend it, don't leave it suspended. All your monetization's out the window.
It's very tempting, exactly.
You could solve it by just suspending every ad. You'd never have a Z-index problem.
Yes.
You'd win forever.
Yeah, so the way I look at it is from a developer standpoint is we're trying to provide all the tools to make your life coding around the WebView issue as easy as possible, knowing that there is a shortcoming there. Hopefully that will be fixed soon. But that's the point. You know, that's what we've been looking at is how do we make this the easiest to code around and kind of deal with. And that's how the WebView brush comes into play.
Yep. I'll tell you what, you guys keep saying it's the downside, but XAML developers are used to this. This is just the way it is. It's no big deal. We've dealt with it before with other things too. So I think that's just the way it is. Now, I like to think with anti-patterns. So, right. Lucas, we're going to start with you. All right, you think about this. What is the one thing you hope developers using the advertising SDK do not do? That's what it is, right? So of all the things, let's at least not do this one. And you can pick the easiest because you're first.
So I would definitely say Ian brought up a very interesting, very important point is your application has to flow with the app control. So don't just plop the app control anywhere and don't overcome your application with the app control. I think that's the most important thing because that will increase user engagement, also make your application look better. Other than that, I would say, you know, don't try to break it, like hack around it and sort of hide it and then show it and hide it again.
Right.
You know, there's some things where we've seen developers try to do things just to get that impression and then not have to show the ad again. So it will actually end up hurting your application in the long term.
Well, let me ask you about that real quick as far as rules. I'm not allowed to obscure it, right? I mean, I can't hide it.
Correct. We have code in there that will actually check all of that. So.
Yep. And of course, the Zindex thing. I know I can't hide it anyway. But
this is
that's
about,
why I said it's a feature.
It's not evil. It's awesome. Now the second one. Can I? If I need to fit it into my data, fit it into my app, and let's say it's a 250 by two. You have the 300 by 250, and I need 300 by 253. Am I allowed to resize the advertisement?
You are. You're allowed to resize it. Now, you might just get some white space next to it. So, again, the ads are designed for the sizing, and we do recommend that you use the actual size that's required for it.
Nice. Okay, Ian, your turn. What's the number one thing you hope? Of course, Luke is totally cheated by saying two. They're probably both yours. No, seriously, though, what's the number one thing that you would say? Just don't do this, and you're going to...
I think don't over-advertise. There's a couple of apps that I've seen, and this kind of goes back to Lucas's point, but it really shows if you kind of added the ad SDK afterwards. the flip is completely true. It's if you look at example how the ads is integrated into Skype or integrated into X8 or integrated in X8, which is the Xbox apps, or integrated into the Bing apps, use that as your example of how to integrate, and it'll make all the difference in the world in terms of consumer experience. And what you don't want to do is have users switch from your app to another app because of the advertising. That'll be the worst outcome.
Yeah. I've always said that building an app is a cosmic battle against the uninstall button.
That's right. And it's so easy, right?
Exactly. Yeah, now it's super easy. Yeah. And it's clean and it's gone. And you're like, oh. It's
boom, gone, exactly.
Nobody monetizes their app after it's uninstalled. I mean,
that's right.
There is no advertising out there. Let me make sure I heard what you just said. You were listing off a couple apps that it sounded like were pretty good examples to kind of model after. You were saying you say it again, actually.
It's so the Bing app, so if you look at the daily, the sports, the travel, the weather, and the news and finance apps, those are good examples, the ones that are pre-installed on Windows 8.
And what you like about it, let me just put words in your mouth here, what you like about it is that it doesn't disorient the user experience. It's not squishing it one way or another to make room for the ads. The data, or I mean the, you know, the ad, the
content,
the information, the content is flowing the way it normally would, and then along the way they've added advertisements.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean the placement, they have this model where they put a 300 by 600 at the end of the panel, and so that works well. Then there's the suite of Xbox apps, the video app, the game app, and the music app. Again, they have integrated ad sizes really well inside these apps, so that's another example. And then apps like Skype. They have integrated the ads fairly well as well. And then just a call out to some apps, if I may, ChaCha, for example. They've done a good job of integrating ads inside the grid layout.
Nice. Now, there might be somebody listening that's saying, you know, I've used another advertising network once upon a time. And there's no problem with working at the same time, right? If I show an ad from one and an ad from another, I might even be able to handle the on error. And swap between them, is that a strategy?
Yeah, that's very common in the phone world because of the low fill rates. Basically, you do ad control chaining, so you'd fire your highest paying ad control first, and then if you don't have an ad, you toggle the next one in. That's certainly a strategy. Our position is trying to be the best of both worlds. We want to give you the high-end experience, but enough scale that you don't feel the need to have to toggle in another ad control. And just a reminder that the experiences that you see with our SDK is limited to our SDK. So you won't see these experiences in competitive SDKs.
Great point. One last thing is, what if I'm listening to this or watching this and I think, you know, I would like to advertise my app. What are my options to get in the cycle?
Yep, no, that's a great question. We are actually working on a feature which we're calling Developer as Advertiser. And think of the ability in PubCenter in the future to say, I'm going to take 10% of my yield and invest that into advertising my own app. And we already have a few ad experiences ready that are really simple because they'll essentially pull all the assets from the Windows Store, and it'll pull essentially review information, it'll pull screenshots, and all that information into an ad on your behalf. So it'll be really easy for you to check a box and say 10% goes on advertising this app. We will create the ad behind the scenes, and you'll see your ad start showing up in other apps.
So a little bit of that is stay tuned. For sure.
That's stay tuned, yeah, for sure.
For sure. Cool. Guys, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. There is such a industry shift to advertising as the model for monetization for apps. To ignore something that we're really delivering to developers is going to be native in the platform so that they have that rich experience. It feels like it belongs. It fits in the UI. Everything is perfect the way it should be, as well as lots of lessons learned from previous experiences that we've had in other platforms that were corrected, and just really helping the developer. This is exciting to me. Thanks for both of you being on the show today. Lucas, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Jerry. You're welcome,
Ian,
Jerry.
Thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
And thank you for watching.